action of one man to launch a wholly unjustified and brutal invasion of Iraq. I mean, of Ukraine.
Are you fucking with me?
I am
just disagreeing with you. In America, we have the freedom of speech, the right to disagree.
Any human being, anywhere, is well within his right to do whatever is necessary, by any means necessary, to protect his life and property, especially in a country where the federal government itself has proven that it is either unable or unwilling to protect the lives and property of those human beings.
54, Pierce.
Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything more comes from the evil one. Think about that. Even in the words you speak, there is a boundary. You don't need to embellish. You don't need to argue. You don't need to defend.
All right. What's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Brian once again. It's October 31st, 2025. Happy Halloween to all you pagan heathens out there.
Spooky.
It's going to be a spooky episode.
I skipped out on Bible study today because they started switching times up on me. And we were doing, are you familiar with Romans 13 and 14? Mainly 13.
Not off the top of my head.
So, you know, Paul wrote half the books in the New Testament, but he wrote Romans too. And it starts out like, basically, let me bring it up. Hold on a second. All right, so I kind of got into it with my wife because I told her Paul doesn't know what he's talking about. And she gets mad. You know, I mean, I don't know. But anyway, listen to this. This is Romans 13. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. I agree with that. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. It goes on, but am I crazy? Am I wrong to think this shouldn't even be in here?
Well,
because this was written like 50 years after the government crucified Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, if you believe that God is in control of everything and that, you know, he doesn't get surprised.
Right.
And that if he's in control and things are moving along a path that he is in control of, that is preordained, then how is that wrong? You know? As shitty as that ruler might be, what he's saying is if they're evil, if they're going to do harm to the innocents, you know, they'll be held accountable for it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I was thinking like, well, maybe things were better back then, but then I started, I'm like, wait a minute. I was like 50 years after they crucified God. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I don't know.
You'd had...
Yeah, you're right, man. I mean, it's all written. I mean, it right down to Revelation, I guess. But I guess, and of course, Jesus knew the whole time what was coming, you know, because it was meant to be, you know. But
then, if you're going to be an outlaw, then you kind of have a whole other set of problems to deal with, Right? If you're like gonna rage against the ruler and you're gonna violate their rules,
Yeah, and then
then
earlier in Romans, he was basically saying, love your enemy and stuff. I mean, the whole book of Romans is basically about that. So, I mean, I kind of get it, but that chapter 13 there, that kind of made me like. But it wasn't just that because they switched times on me and stuff. And I'm like, you know what? I was gonna do this podcast at 7. And I'm just gonna, you guys just go ahead without me because I don't really like these chapters anyway.
what's, you know, a lot of Jesus's teachings were paradoxes also. You know, you have to lose everything to gain everything. You have to be poor to be rich. And if you're looking at it at face value, it's confusing and it doesn't make any sense. But if you're thinking of it in an eternal sense, kind of a spiritual sense, not necessarily physical, that's where it's playing out, you know. And so I think Paul's point was, you know, give the governor his due because he's in control, you know, God's in control. So even if the guy's a douchebag, he'll pay eventually.
Right. And it goes on to even talk about taxes and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, we all know you got to pay those.
Yeah, if you make any money.
Yeah.
I hate all this
They say there's
crap.
only two things are for sure, death and taxes.
Yeah, right. And now PayPal or eBay reports all your sales, so all the crap I've been digging out of the basement and selling on eBay, I'm gonna have to pay taxes on.
I know. I keep planning to do that, but the packaging and all that, it's like
I got that down to a science now, man.
okay,
It's
well.
like I get a sale notification. I go grab the box, find something that almost fits, customize the box a little bit, pack it up, tape it, put the label on it, walk it out the door.
Nice, nice.
It's literally like 20 minutes.
Well, these beers are going down good. I told you I quit drinking during the week, right?
Right. And now it's
So,
Friday.
yep, it's Friday. So I basically graduated from a functioning alcoholic to a binge drinker.
Okay.
I guess that's an improvement.
Maybe.
It's got to be a little bit healthier. So we were talking about, we were, all right, me and Brian were texting because he wanted to know what we were going to talk about. And you guys know me, I just kind of shoot off the hip. But I did bring up this because Brian's the musician here now. He did the intro music and the outro. And so I brought up to him this 432 hertz versus the 440. So he's not convinced about that. What were you saying about that?
Well, what's the argument? So let's get on a level playing field about what the argument is.
All right, so originally it was 432 hertz, supposedly, and it was a healing frequency. And that this is the way they tune the instruments and so forth, to my understanding. And so at some point in the mid 1900s, they changed it to 440 for whatever reason. And there's people they talk about like the cracks in the bells, all these, the Liberty Bell, and there's other bells that are cracked. And then the churches used to have these pipes that would come out of them, and they would play the organ for the whole town, and it supposedly had some kind of healing properties to it. But
Okay.
that's what I've heard on some other shows that I
So,
listen to.
yeah, so I dug into it a little bit because I hadn't really heard much about it. And it's what it's referring to is the A note. So, you know, these are arbitrary assignments anyway, right? So you've got A through F. A note, it's the A4. So like if you look at a grand piano, A1 is going to be on the left-hand side, the bass register. A4 is in the middle. It's right by C4, which is the center of the eight octaves on a grand piano. And so it's designated. What this is about is it's claiming that the original A was 432 hertz and it got changed to 440 hertz. That part is true. The change part, what is murky at best is where that assignment came from in the first place, right? So way back, so over 2,000 years ago, the Pythagoreans, and I don't know if it was Pythagoras himself, there's some dispute about that, but someone in that group, it was kind of a cult, it was a science cult, made an observation about sound, and it was supposedly he was walking by a blacksmith shop and he heard two hammers hitting the anvils, and one was, bong, and one was bing. Bong, bing, and he made this observation about the size of the hammer affecting the frequency that was coming off it. Now they didn't understand anything about time. There was no time recording back then, other than just seasonal stuff, right? The sun. There was nothing about seconds. There was nothing about hertz. Nobody knew any of that. That didn't come around for a long, long time. But they started to develop this understanding of music and tonality. There was basically a mathematic problem to solve to them. And so this note, whatever it was, like just say it was a stretched string, like on a guitar, okay? The natural frequency of that string, if you have another string and it's exactly half of that string, it will double. What we know today is it doubles the frequency. So if that string was, let's say, 880 hertz, so that's hertz is cycles per second. So that's 880 cycles per second. If you cut that in half, it would actually double. The tone would go up because the frequency goes up. If you doubled it, it would go down and it would cut it in half. So if you doubled that, it would be 220 hertz. If you halved it, it would be 880 hertz. And they figured this out. And so he mapped out. Now, this is where music goes off the freaking rails, man. And I don't understand it. And I can't pretend like I do. So then they divide it basically into 12 segments. And these are the become kind of the natural notes. There's eight whole notes and then there's half notes, four half notes in there, I think is how it works. And then that got subdivided into what they call fifths, which are not fifths. I don't know why it's called that either, but there's
Right.
seven fifths. Okay, so they're dividing this stuff naturally, and what ended up happening, I mean, I'm just kind of cutting to the chase. What ended up happening is the last fifth was not resonant. It was mathematically it didn't work. It didn't all fit, and so the last guy was short, and so it didn't resonate. And when you if you tried to play it in a like a chord, or if you tried to play two notes together, like it again, I kind of gave the example of the big piano, right? So like say you play these two notes here, if you move up 12 keys and play them, you should get the same tonality. It's just up an octave. Every 12 keys is an octave. But what happens is in that they called it a wolf interval, and the Catholic Church actually banned it in the medieval age because it was considered to be this non-resonant, disharmonious tone, and it's this error. They call it a comma. It's really bizarre. There's all this terminology. It's really confusing, but that last fifth was that wolf interval, and they would avoid it. And then back then too, think about musical instrument progression. Guitars didn't exist back then. It was harps. It was maybe violins, maybe not. But they were probably fretless. And the frets subdivide the strings on an instrument, and they're divided into those intervals so that you can have multiple instruments that play the same note, basically. It's a way of standardizing, right? But they had like the harpsichord, not the piano. And the harpsichord, it was a plucked instrument. You know, it was like feathers that plucked strings, and they didn't really play chords. It was all arpeggio. It was doodle 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 doodle, that kind of stuff. And that wolf interval didn't really matter because you weren't playing like a what they call a triplet, which would be the first, the third, and the fifth of a octave, or of a note rather. That makes a traditional chord. They call it a triplet. If you played that triplet with that wolf interval, it would sound horrible. It's just got this, the waves don't line up. They're countering each other, and so it vibrates really weird, and it just, you can hear it, right? It's like the old saying, I can't describe it, but I know it if I see it. You know, I can't describe it really, but I know it if I hear it. And so this wolf interval was a problem. Anyway, that tuning system became known as a harmonic system. I think there's some other names. And this is again 2,000 years ago. And what ended up happening was that somebody came up with a bright idea that just said, instead of this, all this rigmarole with Pythagorean tuning, why don't we just evenly divide it? Let's just take 12. We'll just divide this octave range by 12 evenly. There will be no more wolf interval and everything. It won't sound exactly the same, but it won't sound horribly different either. And that became the new, what they call the true temperament tuning. And that's what kind of took over the world. In large part, I think, practically, because now, you know, because back then, we're talking 1600s, 1800s, instruments in Europe were tuned differently than instruments in America. You know, and so like if you tried to get two orchestras together, it was just a nightmare because the tuning was all jacked up, and instruments, like I was mentioning, the frets, you know, the frets were laid out in that harmonic tuning style. And so this new true temperament tuning allowed everyone around the world effectively to play instruments together. So to me, and I've heard pieces played in both tunings, and I'm sorry, it's virtually impossible to tell. It really is. It's we're talking 8 hertz, 8 cycles per second. You know, if you can hear that with your ear, more power to you. I don't think most people can. So anyway, this true temperament tuning took over. Was it an industrial play for music instrument manufacturing and stuff? Probably. You know, made it way easier. It made it a lot easier for one company in like America to build instruments and sell them around the world.
Yeah, I
And
read
then,
something about that. It had to do with mass production.
yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. I mean, that seems logical. But that's the research I did. There were in before true temperament tuning, there were something like 13 major tuning types, to put it. I don't know how you describe it. It's a practice, I guess. If you have a fretless instrument, it doesn't really matter where, you know, because you're putting your finger on the string anywhere you want. And so you can affect that 8 hertz change with your hand, and the human, you know, human's ability to nail that every time is not a reality either. So to say that it was this play, because part of the conspiracy theory I heard or read about was that Rockefeller and Goebbels conspired to throw the world into disharmony, so that the war would take footing and people would be upset and back the war. That's
Also,
what I heard. That's what I read.
what they did with Madison wasn't enough, I guess, huh?
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Pharmaceuticals, Rockefeller. So the food and medicine, pharmaceuticals. So they had a runoff from like that's where the seed oils came from. We talked about that before. the runoff from the some of the machinery that they were doing with you know the corn machines and stuff, and they would have to pay to have this stuff, you know, disposed of. And so they're like, wait a minute, we can just cook with this stuff. But also, the majority of pharmaceuticals are petroleum based. Mm-hmm. So not only the Rockefellers were in charge of medicine, but they were in charge of education so that they could teach all these young up and coming doctors. And now that it's been going for so many generations now, it can't be undone. You know, so they did away with any kind of natural holistic medicine, and they made it, you know, they coined it like voodoo or, you know, hippie shit or whatever they called it. Just like anybody that questioned the JFK assassination was a conspiracy theorist. That's right. Where that word came from, you know?
Yeah, they want you to put your faith in pharma, not ecology, not botanicals, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and that's true. A lot of doctors, although I got to say, a pleasant surprise, I went to a doctor for the first time in a couple of years because my blood pressure was up, and he was very pro herbal stuff. You know, I was telling him I was taking these herbals. He's like, keep taking them. It'll only help. You know, it can only help kind of settle this thing down. He was pro coffee too. So
yeah,
I like him.
I think a lot of people are changing, man. Like, I think the pandemic was a big one for that. You know, like people just, well, Trump too. I mean, people just stopped trusting mainstream media and mainstream everything, really, you know?
Oh, man, that was such a freaking disaster.
Right.
Still pisses me off. I could play the first 6 months of 2020 back in my head. It's like it was in slow motion, you know, as this whole thing's breaking down and the way everybody was reacting and the way we reacted and the, what we had to go through and then the toilet paper shortage bullshit. What the
right,
hell,
because
people?
Because the media said that there was a toilet paper shortage, so people just started buying toilet paper. It's like, come on, man.
We ended up getting a bidet toilet just to short circuit that problem. And that's my favorite toilet in the house. I got to be honest with you. I've got a heated seat. It's freaking nice.
Isn't it insane, though? Like, remember when it all started? You were seeing these videos of people in China just going down face first and just convulsing and shit. And they told us it was COVID. And then my wife was at the grocery store and a dude went down. He was having like a seizure. And some old dude, some senior citizen that happened to be standing right next to him, just started hauling ass for the door. Like, he thought, this guy's having a seizure. You know, it's whatever he is wrong with him, and it's probably not the first time. Now, this guy's just hauling ass because, you know, it's the latest pandemic that's coming around. You know, it's just crazy what this propaganda can do to people. It's amazing.
It's true. So what else you got on the list?
Have you heard of this Neo, the humanoid robot? It's like 25,000, but it comes with see if I can bring up any videos. It comes with, so it's like 25 grand. It does all your household chores and But then there's also like a subscription with it because it updates.
Of course there is.
Well, that's scary.
I hate that crap.
Oh,
the Neo humanoid.
The humanoid,
I haven't heard about this.
The humanoid robot. Let's see if I what I can. I mean, it does all your chores and all that shit.
No.
But just think about it now. All right. I'm not going to bring up any videos yet, but it says right here, Neo is a consumer-ready humanoid robot developed by 1X Technologies. Officially launched for pre-order on October 28th, 2028. So this is just 2 days ago. Marking the first time a humanoid robot has become available for direct consumer purchase. Standing at 5'6" tall and weighing 66 pounds, Neo is designed to perform household chores such as vacuuming, folding laundry, organizing shelves, and watering plants. It features a soft 3D lattice polymer body in three color options, tan, gray, and dark brown. And he's equipped with four microphones, three speakers, and two fisheye cameras to ensure natural interaction and navigation.
A 12-inch cock.
The robot has a battery life of up to 4 hours per charge and can lift over 150 pounds and carry up to 55 pounds.
They ought to merge this with what we were talking about last time when we closed out the show. We were talking about the AI Jesus.
Yeah,
and they should just make this like an AI preacher, you know, and then you could just get rid of all your preachers and just have robots up there telling us what to believe. This is crazy.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
All right. I'm going to share the screen, play a video about it. I tried the first humanoid home run. It says the name of this video. I tried the first humanoid home robot. It got weird.
It's here. The first humanoid robot housekeeper.
Yep.
Thank you, Neo.
For $20,000, you can pre-order 1X's Neo robot now with delivery in 2026.
I think you missed a tiny spot over here.
Oh,
just
my God.
One little catch. There may be a human behind the curtain pulling the robot strings.
If I throw up, will the robot throw up?
A company representative may need to peer into your house via Neo's camera eyes to get things done.
To many people, this is crazy.
You have to be okay with this for the product to be useful.
But is Neo a useful product?
We're twinning now, Neo.
Home robots have had two big challenges: creating a safe and capable body and a smart brain. 1X is taking on both of those, which is why Neo looks so different from a more industrial factory robot.
Neo, it's 70 degrees here in California. Why are you wearing a sweater?
Good question. Bert, why am I wearing a sweater?
It's a combination of safety and just also generally aesthetics. You can think of it kind of like a skin.
That
except
dude
if it
reminds
was an actual
me
skin,
of Elon
that
Musk.
That would probably be pretty creepy.
It would be creepy.
Elon
but
Musk.
I actually wasn't all
top.
That creeped out by Neo.
Neo, it really
had
starts with some very, very powerful motors that we have developed here at 1X. These motors are so strong and light that instead of using the classical gears that you see in robots, we can actually pull on tendons, loosely inspired by biology and muscles. This allows Neo to move around not just quietly and smoothly, but also be very, very lightweight and be very low energy in motion, just like people.
That lightweight design is intended for our safety in case the 66-pound robot falls. Although Neo is capable of lifting up to 150 pounds, it's not as super
you can't
as you'd think.
You can't even get your kids to clean up the kitchen the right way. There's no way. This is just so ridiculous. There you go.
There's this concept that we think that robots are like superhuman in like pressure and like strength. And some robots are because they're heavily geared, but that means you're not sensitive, right? And delicate. Neo doesn't work like this at all. It works more like us. So the finger strength of Neo is about the same as a human.
That body lets Neo try to do a lot of things humans do.
So he can choke you out.
On try. Can I get a
water? Oh, yeah.
If only the real world didn't have doors.
Yes, master.
All in, it took Neo a little over a minute to fetch a water from the fridge 10 feet away. Thank you, Neo. Next challenge, load 3 items in the dishwasher.
You got this, Neo. You got it.
Next challenge, break my china.
He's slow.
And then how's he going to figure out that thing on the top shelf is rubbing the top of the dishwasher? You can't close it, so he's just going to shove it. Break your freaking dishwasher. Sorry, man. I'm not a fan.
All right, that's enough. It's like a 9-minute video. Did you guys get the idea? And not only that, but like I said, so it's like 25 grand, then you pay $400 a month, $450 a month for... So the thing is communicating with a master AI, right? That's the only reason you would have this subscription.
Right.
So now the kids are going to start picking on it. And you know they will. It's only, what would they say, 5'6"? So they're going to start fucking with it. At some point, we're going to have the Terminator. Something is going to go wrong, I promise.
You're going to have the organization to stop robot bullying.
Right.
Sorry, your kids are being arrested for mistreating your robot. Whatever. It's priced. I mean, the only people that are going to be buying this are Elon and, you know, I'm just saying people with a ton of money, right? Bill Gates. And
oh, that's probably the first one available to us. They've right. probably got better ones that they're already using.
Yeah, X has the X robot.
And I was listening to him today on Joe Rogan. He's a little autistic, but them Tesla trucks are ugly as can be, but that's the way he wants it because he wants it to look futuristic. You know what I mean? Like, he's got some movie that he's seen years ago that was about the future. I forget what it's called, but that was what gave him the idea. And it's just like, and Rogan was like, so are you ever going to, you know, like change the body style or, and he really didn't just answer him. He just kind of ignored it. And yeah, we just like it to look futuristic. And, but now he's got a new one coming out here, and he said it's going to be probably the biggest surprise for the unveiling of a new product it'll be like historic. We'll see about that. He's saying about before the end of the year. I don't know if he's got flying cars now or what.
Was that movie THX 1138 per chance?
No, it was nothing like that. I can't remember. Stuff. I'm gonna grab me another beer. All right, let me pause it for a second. Yeah. Probably take a break, restroom break too. All right, we're back. Another beer. They're going down pretty good. Now, this has nothing to do with the conspiracies or anything, but so you know Tommy Lee Jones, right?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about this last time, did we? Okay. Did you know? I think it was Harvard. He played offensive guard, and he was only 195 pounds. That's a tough dude, man.
That's impressive.
It was either Harvard or Yale. I think it was Harvard. 195-pound offensive guard, and he got MVP twice.
Wow.
But you're not going to the NFL at 195 pounds as an offensive lineman. But that's pretty crazy.
You'd be going up against Refrigerator Perry and dudes like that.
Right. Yeah.
That can happen.
195 pounds, forget it.
They'd be sponging them off the grass.
I'm at my lowest weight in years now.
Really?
Well, I switched departments at work, and at first when I was learning the jobs, it was kind of kicking my ass. I was sweating, and I'm definitely burning more calories and shit because it's a busier area, but I like it.
Good.
But also, I stopped drinking, you know, four nights a week. So my pants, I went down a belt loop. It could have been easily been two because my pants are still falling off my ass. And it's like, and I told my wife, and she's like, well, that's good, right? And I'm like, nah, that's enough because my pants are falling off my ass. You know, women always want to lose weight. I think I've hit my plateau, and that's enough. I have to start eating more, but I only eat. You know, I only eat when I'm at home. I eat 4 hours a day because I believe in intermittent fasting for health reasons. I think your body's going to clean itself out on its own if you stop feeding it all this. I mean, our food's got enough bullshit in it as it is. You know what I mean? And even if you try to eat healthy, if your body's going to cleanse anything that shouldn't be in there anyway, if you give it a good 18 hours. And some people will do like 3-day fasts. Me, I don't do that. You know, by the time I get home from work, I'm ready to eat.
Interesting stuff, man.
Yeah. Yeah. You get into that with all the conspiracy world and stuff like that.
I heard they changed the frequency of beef tallow from 440 to 4. No.
Okay. All right. Let's go back to the Bible. I got a clip here. I thought it was interesting, so I saved it. I don't know what you think.
The angel told Daniel, he said, you'll know you're at the very end. He said, because there'll be a technology explosion called AI. That's what the Bible says. In the book of Revelation, preachers crack me up thinking I'm wrong until they go read and start crying. In the book of Revelation, it says it is a robot infused with AI that gives the command for everyone to receive the mark. Go read it. He said, I saw in a vision. You remember the language is different. He said, I saw in a vision. He said, and they created a statue. The word back then, which is 4,000 years ago, the word robot didn't exist. Statue did. So he doesn't know what he's looking at. He just knows it was a statue. Second thing, he said, then they had the ability to give the statue life. That's called electricity. He said, when the thing came alive, it started speaking arrogantly. And then it says the robot, or he called it the statue, that had the ability to speak, it gave a command that every person that does not receive a mark must die. Robot. And now AI isn't creating AI. And he said, we're not impressed. He just, I'll let it come out at the end. So let's get back to the point. He said, it'll be like it was in Noah's day. The Bible says in Noah's day, the whole world was wicked. Number one. Number two, it says Noah was righteous. Number three, it says the only out of all of the sin in the planet, it said that all men only thought about evil continually. But it only brought out the sin of sexual perversion. That's the only sin it brought out back on Noah's day. It said the angels came and slept with the women, and it produced giants. In the future, you saw that some of these giants had five fingers and six toes.
Okay, and then it was, y'all want to hear something scary? I don't know why I asked y'all these questions. The Bible says that when the angels slept with the daughters of men, they produced half-breeds called Nephilim. And then it says something very scary. It says they existed in those days and the days after. Apparently we have a sister in the house that reads her Bible and thought she was crazy because she shared it with her family members. Girl, sit down, let me finish my message. It's hilarious. The stuff in the Bible is insane. And there are things, and guess what the angel told Daniel? He said at the end, not one sinner will understand anything.
All right, what do you think, Brian?
Well,
I already believed in most of that shit.
Yeah, he says some stuff that's like a little, I mean, Noah was deemed to be one of the most righteous people, and that's not saying much, because if you read the descriptions leading up to the flood, you know, it was pretty bad. But like, Noah slept with his cousin or his wife's sister or something. He was not exactly.
No, he didn't. Sexually pure. Didn't his daughters get him drunk? And, yeah. Or was that somebody else?
Yeah. No, that was Noah. Yeah. Yeah. Cause he was a drunkard and they got him drunk and one of them slept with them. That was it. Yeah. So he wasn't exactly sexually pure. So that anyway,
it's, it could be, are you familiar with the Seed War?
I mean, it sounds vaguely familiar, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
All right, so the theory goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. So there's a medical explanation for a woman being impregnated with twins by two different men. And it sounds impossible, but it happens. And that's the theory going back to Cain and Abel. And supposedly there's been like a seed war ever since. And there's so many twins in the Bible, you know, like Jacob and Esau. I can't think of it. It's just a theme in the Bible. You know what I mean? And who are the other ones? I can't, but yeah, it goes back to Cain and Abel. Supposedly the serpent or whoever that represented, I think it was a human being. Whoever that represented was the Cain's, bloodline. And then Abel's bloodline was from Adam, which later became, Seth, which became the bloodline of Jesus, right? From Adam. You look like you're deep thought.
I'm reading about
Noah
a little bit. I'm listening. I let's see.
I mean, how do we get on this subject? Noah.
The robots.
Oh. Well, no. It started with Noah and the Seed War.
And the Nephilim.
Yeah.
That's the crazy part. Because, yeah, I reread that in Genesis, what is it, chapter 6, talking about them.
It really doesn't explain it, though, unless you go back to the book of Enoch.
Yeah, right.
Which, we talked about that before now. I think a lot of that is like, we remember we talked about the Council of Nicaea. Now they're like, okay, well, everybody already knows about all that stuff. We don't have to include that, you know, because that was passed down from generation to generation. But it's been a lot of that stuff's been lost now. So we don't know about any of that.
There's so much that has been lost.
Right.
You know, writings of that time, the Gnostics, the, what are they, the Zoroastrians? There were a bunch of sects that were very knowledgeable, and you know, they weren't followers of God. And so again, all that stuff just got pared out, you know, pared out of the canon. And it's not lost, but it's not something that everybody has in their, you know, their library.
Right.
And it's quite a rabbit hole. I know a guy, I met him in Colorado, who had studied this stuff a lot, and he educated me a lot. He was the first guy I ever heard of the Nephilim from, and he was talking about that. And that has a, there was some connection to Joseph Smith and what he was creating about the Nephites and like the, when he said they were brown of skin or something like that. And it was either the bloodline of Abel or Lot or the Nephilim. I forget. He had a whole explanation of this, you know, the connections through history that Smith was trying to make when he was developing Mormonism. But
yeah, that's a little out there, most of that stuff. And to be honest, a lot of the, I don't know if you've heard of the giants from Kuwait. They were supposed to be like pale skinned, like red haired giants that a bunch of soldiers supposedly seen in Kuwait.
No, I hadn't.
And
would be surprised.
Yeah.
Kuwait giants.
So, did we talk about, you know, Bill Gates and his fabricated mosquitoes that carry whatever he prefers them to carry?
No, not yet.
You know anything about that?
Only that it's that they're working on it, because it was his plan to vaccinate everybody,
right?
By having them carry the vaccine around. Freaking scumbag.
He really is, man. And
I mean, if some dude ran up to your kid and jabbed him with the vaccine without your permission, you'd probably knock him out cold, right? At best.
At the very least.
And that's exactly what needs to happen to freaking Bill Gates.
Right.
Man.
I mean, you got the mosquitoes with carrying vaccines and or diseases. And then you got them talking about blocking out the sun. I mean, they're passing all these chemtrail laws now in all these different states. I mean, things are starting to switch, which is good. It's just anytime a bug lands on me, the first thing I think of is Bill Gates. You ever heard of a tumble fly?
Tumbo?
Tumbo fly.
No.
I think it might be tumbo fly.
I've heard of a tsetse fly.
Tumbo fly. They're over in they were over in Somalia. They would land on you, lay eggs in your skin, and then the larva would somehow go underneath your skin. And then once they got big enough, they would eat their way out.
We have something like that in North and South America called the bot fly.
The bot fly. Okay.
Yeah, and that's apparently it's been around North America too, which is freaking horrifying. We went down to Costa Rica. We were reading about things to watch out for. It's like, oh, great.
I don't think we got to worry about that in Ohio. You're saying South America?
North America too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. The bot fly.
I had a lieutenant that had one laying on the back of his neck. And so the medics say it's more sanitary to just let them eat their way out. You know what I mean? And as opposed to like cutting them out.
Cutting them out or.
So he just had to let them. It's like a moving sore on your. He had it on the back of his neck.
Nasty. And then. Yeah, I've seen video of it. It's
yeah, it's pretty
wicked.
Yeah.
And people like supposedly one of the best ways to get them off is to take a piece out of meat, you know, pork chop or a steak, and you cover it up because they leave a hole in your skin and it's so they can breathe. And so you cut off their air supply and they'll crawl out of your skin and tunnel into the piece of meat to try to save themselves.
Okay.
Well,
hopefully.
Yeah, they're
hopefully we don't ever have to worry about that.
Apparently there's a bot fly epidemic in northern New York State.
No shit.
No
shit. That's
crazy. I sent you a link. That was as of 2019.
I got a daughter up there. Up in the Fort Drum area.
Disgusting. Why, God, why?
All right. Well, you got anything else?
I don't.
All right. Kind of
blew through the music stuff real fast, but that's a tough one to digest just because the music terminology is kind of crazy. 12ths and fifths and sevenths and just.
I had a list of it doesn't matter. I mean, I told you about supposedly Strawberry Fields, the orchestra was recorded in 432. That's why it didn't match. You know how, have you ever listened to Strawberry Fields? You know what I'm talking about?
I mean, I haven't listened to it for that reason.
But it sounds like you're tripping, you know, because it's like, you know, I don't know.
The thing is, and this gets it gets a little complicated because, again, the 432 versus 440 is only the A notes, and you could take a guitar and you could tune it any way you want, right? You can make it a standard tuning, like the tuning we use on guitars is called a standard E tuning. There's a ton of other tunings, gad bad, gad dad, drop D, half step down, B flat minor. There's all kinds of tunings you can do. It's the intervals, the separations of on the guitar, the frets on the neck that determine how those octaves are chopped up. And that's really what changed when they came out with this, well, I forget the name of it now. I totally spaced out. It's like the equal temperament. It was the division of what constitutes those fifth segments. That's really the key. The 440, 432, that to me is it's inconsequential. It's less important than how the, because I could tune my A string to 432, but then the divisions are going to be equal temperament divisions. So it doesn't matter. I don't have a guitar from 1800 that's got a harmonic tuning, you know, a Pythagorean tuning layout. So it's kind of like part and parcel, a red herring in a lot of ways, just because it's,
hey.
you know, it's as much the instruments as anything else and our ears. And if it sounds good, like Eddie Van Halen, for instance, every instrument has its own resonant frequency just because of the wood, because of the construction and stuff like that. And Eddie had a reputation for tuning the guitar to itself. He didn't care what frequency it was. It could have been 418 or 480. You know, he didn't care. What mattered is the resonance of the guitar. And then Michael Anthony would change his bass to match Eddie's guitar. So all his guitars were different. And again, it's just what sounded good to him, you know. And there's videos on it, and you can see why. And again, it's that dissonance when you play a chord, and you get kind of like that wolf interval, and it's out of phase, and it just hurts your brain because it's like, and I say that kind of sarcastically, it just doesn't sound good. You know, you can tell when something's in harmony, and you can tell when it's out of harmony, like right. A singer singing, and you're like, oh, he's pitchy. You know, that's just your ear picking up on it. And that's what that wolf interval would do. It would just sound off because it was, I forget how, it was more than 8 hertz. I think it was something like 32 hertz or something. It was pretty significant. And so it just had this warble to it. And there's a lot of ways to visualize all that stuff. But,
well, hey, I mean, sometimes it's good to disprove conspiracies because, I mean, I've heard about that on more than one podcast that I listen to. I listen to conspiracy shit all day long. That's what I enjoy, but God knows they're not all right, you know, including shit that I talk about because I've got like couple hundred, 200 or 300 episodes now that I mean, I can remember back in the day when I was talking shit about, I had a pastor on here and I was like, why do we call him Jesus Christ? Why? When his name was Yeshua. Why? You know what I mean? And he's just like, well, that's just the way it is. And I'm like, but why?
Christ. Yeah, it was. I think technically it's Jesus the Christ.
Yeah, Christos, meaning the chosen one. But
yeah, and the, you know, don't take the Lord your God and, you know, his name in vain. Which name?
Right. I've been wrong so many times, man, and I'm learning with everyone else here. You know, I'm trying to get better. That's all we can do.
It's good to talk about it, get a different perspective. You know, I mean, I'm open. If there's evidence that shows that, you know, Rockefeller was behind this and that his intent was what the conspiracies say it is, which was to cause discord by creating this, you know, non-harmonious to the, you know, it doesn't hold water at face value to me. Cause again, that 440 versus 432 is irrelevant. You could tune your guitar that way, right? It's just a matter of, and again, Eddie Van Halen, if you listen to a Van Halen record and you got your guitar set on E standard tuning, you're not going to play what he's playing. Cause he's tuned in something completely freaking whacked out, you know, half step down, drop D on top of it. And it's like, okay, because he liked the sound of it, you know.
Hey, like I said, sometimes it's good to have somebody that's not believing all this shit. You know what I mean? So we can, know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's what it's about.
All right, man.
So, anybody's got any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints? ConspiracySoldiers@yahoo.com, Conspiracy Soldiers on Instagram, Rumble, YouTube, all that shit. And the phone number, 313-583-7646. And happy Halloween to all you pagan heathens out there.
All Saints Day tomorrow.
Yep. All right, you got anything else?
Nope. I'm good.
All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.